I've been around the tables of the diocesan administration for far too long. And how I ended up in that place was in 2009, Bishop Miller asked me to be Archdeacon of St. John to follow Stuart Allen. And when I went onto that, given that responsibility, Stuart turned to me and said, "And you will, therefore, be sitting on the finance committee." And I thought to myself, there is no one worse than me that you could want on a finance committee. I can't even read a balance sheet on a good day. Now, that has changed because I've been on the finance committee for 14 years. But I remember very early on, a delegation from this church came to the finance committee and proposed this building. And I remember that though any of you were in the old synod office, there were a lot of people. There was the finance committee, and then there were five or six people from this parish, and we all crammed into what was called the dining room, which was where we had our committee. I see Josh smiling, because there were like 12 people in the finance committee, and then six people from this congregation, and a few other people hanging around as well. And we were all crammed in around this little round table, and a presentation was made, and the finance committee agreed. And I remember two people in particular from that meeting, both of whom have now gone to be with the Lord. One was Bill McMullen, and the other was Graham Standen. And both of them made great appeals, but their appeals were also not, "Let's build a building." But their appeals were, "Let's build a building in order that the kingdom of God can be extended." And today, we come together to celebrate, in one way, the culmination of that. The fact that you, as a congregation, have been faithful in coming to a place where this building is now paid for, and you're able to burn the mortgage, as they say. And also the fact that God has been faithful as he's enabled this to go forward. And even and despite COVID, we're here in this place today. And there are many people to be thankful to. But I want us to go back to that original meeting way back when. And I don't remember what year that meeting was in. It was 2009, 2010 probably. I want to go back to that original meeting and remember what was said. And what was said was, the purpose of this building is for the kingdom of God. The purpose of this building is for the kingdom of God. And without that being the motivation behind a building, it's pointless building a building. It's pointless having a building. Now, admittedly, around about 12 months ago, just slightly less, Debbie and I were in Ghana and visiting our companion diocese, and the weather there means that you could actually meet outside, which a lot of the churches that we visited kind of did. So we visited one church, and the rector proudly showed me a concrete slab with some pillars. And he said, "That's our new church." And I said, "Oh, great." I said, "How long is it going to take to finish?" He said, "About 20 years. And that group of people met in the school, actually. But then I went to another place where they had the pillars and a roof. And a big box in the corner. And I said, "What's the big box?" They said, "Well, that's where all the stuff is, like the altar and so forth, that we bring out every Sunday. We're working towards being able to afford the walls," they said. And I said, well, what's this overhanging piece here? And they said, well, the wind in this place blows from one general direction. They said, and you're fortunate because you're in the season of Hamatan. And the season of Hamatan in Ghana means that the winds blow from the Sahara Desert. And what that means is it's 30 degrees plus every day, no humidity. But also that if you look up at the sky, it's pretty, looks a bit like fog, but it isn't. It's sand at a high level. So it looks sort of a bit milky. And they said, but during the rainy season, the wind comes from here. And the reason for this is to stop the rain coming in when we're worshiping. And then I went to another place where Debbie and I stood on a roof. And this was also going to be a church building. And we stood on the roof, and it wasn't really the roof, it was the floor, but it was like 8 feet in the air, and we went up this very sketchy staircase to get there. And as we stood on the roof, people over in the other compound next door, they heard Debbie speak, and they said, Americans! And Debbie said, no, Canadian! And they said, sorry! But again, no walls. But yet, the faithful working, just as here, toward buildings for the kingdom. Buildings for the kingdom. And as we were reminded last week, and we're again looking at John the Baptist this week, John says the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus will say the same words. And as we move forward into the Christmas season, we're reminded that the kingdom of heaven is at hand in the Christ child. And in a very real sense, we're looking forward to the coming of that kingdom in the Christ child. But we're also looking forward, and this is really what Advent is about, looking forward to the coming of the kingdom in the coming of the King. Jesus, not the baby, but Jesus, the risen, resurrected, ascended Lord, returning to his creation in order to bring in the new heaven and the new earth. That's what we're looking at, and that is what buildings like this are to be a beacon of. The coming of the kingdom. We are, in a sense, to be way stations, places where we live as kingdom people. And the candles remind us of the kingdom. And the values of the kingdom. Hope. Peace. Joy. Those are the things that we are to bring into our communities, because the Christ candle is the incarnation of the Trinity in the world, and the church is the body of Christ, which also is to incarnate Christ into the world. We are the body of Christ, and we will celebrate that at this table. And later on, I will say the body of Christ. And that sharing of the communion is the symbol of the fact that we are united as the body of Christ and are therefore those who are to incarnate Christ into God's creation and to bring hope, to be signs of joy and to be signs of peace. And we were reminded somewhat of that in the reading from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the prophet said, for he has anointed me to bring good news. He's anointed me to bring good news. And of course, very soon in Luke's gospel, after the incident that we heard recorded in John's gospel, Jesus will go to his home synagogue and he will say exactly those words to the people who are there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the people. Freedom to the captive. Sight to the blind. Those things that are kingdom elements. And then Jesus will go on to prepare his disciples to be messengers of the kingdom. He'll say, go out and heal the sick. He'll say, go out and bring the good news. And then, at the very end, he will say in Matthew's gospel, I know I'm jumping gospels, and I know that's not allowed under biblical studies. Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that's the call of the church. That is the Great Commission, as it's become known. But we have to remember that alongside the Great Commission sits the Great Commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. When we love the Lord our God with all our mind, with and so on and so forth, then we incarnate God into our neighborhoods. We incarnate God into our neighborhoods because we, as we love God, God loves us. And God's motivation as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is to flood his creation with love in order that men and women, boys and girls, and communities, and this is the bit we sometimes miss, communities will become those places that are places where good happens. I'm going to finish with a complicated thing. So you ready to hold on to your hats here? It's complicated, but it's revelatory. It's complicated, but it's revelatory. St. Paul said that we are already citizens of heaven. Remember that bit? We are already citizens of heaven. Now, this is important because in Greek culture, a citizen was only a certain group of people. It was the important people. The average slave or the average worker was not a citizen. They were just a person. Lived in a city, but they were just a person. The city was known as the polis, P-O-L-I-S. Which is where we get words like political from. And the people who were the citizens would meet in order to discuss how they could do good to make a difference in the polis. Now, this is the interesting bit. Anybody know, remember from what Paul Ranson has taught you, I'm sure, what the Greek word for church or assembly is? He hasn't taught you that? Basic Christianity 101. Ecclesia. It's where we get our word ecclesiastical. Yeah? But this is the key bit. Take the middle of that word, and it's ecclesia. And the ecclesia was where the citizens of a city met together in order to discuss how they were going to do good for the city and how they were going to live good lives in order to be virtuous people who would actually win favor. They gathered in the ecclesia. So we, as the body of Christ, citizens of heaven, gather in our ecclesia or ecclesia assembly to think about what it is to be the body of Christ, incarnating Christ into the creation that Christ created with the Father and the Spirit. We are the ecclesia, the assembly that gathers, because in Christ, through his death and resurrection, we have been made, as followers of Christ, members of the ecclesia, citizens who are to be those who look at what it is to impact our city, our community, for the good, for the joy, for the hope, for the peace, for the justice that flows from the love of God. And so as we gather in this place to give thanks to God for what has been accomplished here, let's remember what our purpose is in gathering here. It's to be agents of the kingdom, citizens of the kingdom, incarnators of the Christ child into the world as the world prepares for the coming of Christ the King. Amen.